we're going to talk this week, if everything goes according to plan, we're going to get through chapter 4 and chapter 5 today. Make a little headwind. Lineage is what we're going to be talking about. And starting in verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, why did Cain go out from the presence of the Lord? Because he killed his brother. God cursed him. And then he whined about it, and God put a mark on him to protect him. But I think it's interesting, and we should note that phrase, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 17 says, And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. One of the old questions that skeptics ask is, where did Cain get his wife? Where did Cain's wife come from? Where did Cain's wife come from? Do you know? From the Lord. It's right. Well, you have to say that Cain married his sister or his cousin or a niece or a relative, because Adam and Eve were the only two. And Adam and Eve had lots more children than just the ones that are named here. So that's, we're all going, ooh. But if you want to talk from a genetic standpoint, I'll kind of toss this out. Brothers and sisters don't marry, and really cousins don't marry, because there's this danger of deformities, birth defects. That's the word I was looking for. Because after all this time, the effects of sin have caused, even on a cellular level, our genes are not perfect anymore. They have defects in them. And relatives too close together, that defect might become apparent. Whereas now we can just all hide our defects. Isn't that the way we work at it? When God created Adam and Eve, their genetic makeup was absolutely perfect. And there would be very few defects passed on. That makes sense. But that's what had to happen. He had to marry a relative. And there you have it. Now, you start reading through all of these other names. Verse 18, unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. Isn't this kind of like looking at wedding pictures of people you don't know? As I start reading through these genealogies, I'm thinking, well, like, okay, that's nice. And you, to people who know, they're going, oh. But to me, I'm going, okay, good, good. Yeah, all of these names are important, and I guess there is a lot of, there's a lot of background here that can lay out there, but the question I want you to think about is your own lineage. Are you affected by your parents and your grandparents? Did they guide you? Are they part of where you are today? Part of what you are today? Good, bad, or otherwise? Yeah, they really are. But more importantly than that is this next question. Not where did you come from, but where are you going? We are the product of our past. Our past decisions brought us to where we are today. And our parents and our grandparents have had an influence on us. But that does not dictate what we must or should do. We can all go in the right direction. We all have that ability to choose. That's really important, because as we start looking at these names here, and we start looking at this lineage, we're really looking at that godless line of Cain. We're looking at those who turned their back on God. Cain went out from the presence of God, right? And then the names go on and on and on until we get to this one called, what was his name? Lamech. Now, Lamech, verse 19, becomes an interesting character. In fact, several verses are devoted to Lamech and to his family. Look at the first thing it says about Lamech in verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. First time that happened. Last week we just touched a little bit about women and submission and women, you know, their desires being to their husbands. And all of you ladies were really nice and just, you know, Mark, Anna did not say anything bad about you, though I tried to get her to tell the truth.
I wish I'd have been here for that.
There was, I got it recorded. You can listen to it. But I told you that just in passing, how when I had a daughter, my perspective on all of this changed. I never thought of women as second-class citizens, but I didn't like the idea of my daughter being limited in what she could do. And in many ways, she's not, but then in other ways, she is. On occasion, I have been called on to lead a Christmas cantata, and I enjoy all of that very much. I hope we get to do it again sometime. But one of the things that was said to me, one of the women who got it together came to me and she says, "You have to do it. I can't do it because I'm a woman." I said, "But you're very talented. Why don't you?" "No, I'm a woman. I can't lead anything in this church." Do you ladies feel that? Heather's just keeping that poker face over there. Do you care to lead anything? There are a few women here who want to. A few women who... We have very... The women in this church are very good. There are no overpowering women. At least not as far as I'm concerned. Maybe my personality is such that they just don't bowl me over. I do what I want to do. But anyway, where we come with Lamech, things change a little bit more. Lamech took unto him two wives. And at this point, women start to become property. You notice the problem with that? The women are second-class citizens now. Women don't have two husbands, but men can have two wives. There's two sets of rules. Problem right there, isn't there? And then they gives the woman's names, Ada and Zillah. Not Zena, but Zillah. We're not going to get into that. I know everybody was thinking it. Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother was Jubal. So we got Jada and Jubal. You know, that was a problem. He was the father of all as such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And then an interesting little note right here. Women, second-class citizens, but then we have a woman mentioned. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Of note. Let's talk about the guys. Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. And I thought Forrest was an odd name. We have the father of business, I mean, such as dwell in tents and raise cattle. And then we have the father of musicians, such as, you know, are good with all the harp and the organ. I wonder if this was a big organ, like a Hammond organ, or like when we got, you know, no, it wasn't. And then we have the artificer in brass and iron, scientist. Those are my interpretations. But they play also into the three desires that human beings have. The three main areas that we are tempted in is that we want to make a profit, we want pleasure, and we want power, we want influence over other people. And if you keep those three things in mind, there's nothing wrong with making a profit. There is nothing wrong with having a good time, and there is certainly nothing wrong with being influential. But if those become your focus, then if those become your gods, your focus is in the wrong place, and you will lead yourself and others astray. Notice in here, it doesn't anywhere say that these were the ones who were faithful. These were the ones who served God. Focus had changed entirely. Cain left the presence of God, and his generations after him continued on in that direction. Sin will cause a self-focus. Which way do your desires run? This is one of those simple yet profound tests. Is it about what I need and about what I want and about what I have to have and people don't treat me right? I mean, is the focus about it flowing toward me, or is the focus about flowing out? We serve God. We serve people. We give. The focus, is it this way or that way? It's a simple little test. The line of Cain, the focus was in this direction, inward. What can I get? What can I become? Now, of Lamech, we read here, verse 23, Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." It's a little cloudy right there, but what Lamech is actually saying is this: I had to kill a man in self-defense. Lamech and his family certainly made some enemies along the way. Whenever you're self-focused, you will make some enemies. And so somebody rose up, gonna get even, and so Lamech kills them. And he then expects that God will not only forgive, but avenge. That self-focus causes us to then become self-righteous. And all of a sudden, it's not about us serving God, it's about God serving us. Our prayer life can change at that point. God becomes the genie in the bottle. God becomes the spare tire. All we have to do is, well, if I get in trouble, God's supposed to bail me out of this. I'm his child. Nah. That's a heartbreaking thing when you realize that we serve him, he doesn't serve us. And there are those times, if you haven't faced them yet, you will, where God puts you in a hard spot just so that you'll learn to trust him. And he'll leave you in that hard spot just till you learn to trust him. In fact, you may spend your whole life in that hard spot just so that you'll learn to trust him. God is much more concerned about who you are and what your spirit is than about what you have or how successful you are or even what kind of influence that you have. I think it's important for us to be good Christians, to go to church, to talk, to witness to those around us. And yet, if you look around, some of the greatest Christians that you know, some of the sweetest spirits, have the toughest times. I still don't understand David Smith and everything he's had to go through. Do you? I mean, here's a man who witnesses to people that, all the time. And he came to a point where he had to make a stand over alcohol. And he did. The right stand. And you'd think at that point God would just pour out his blessings. But instead, right the opposite. It's been a struggle. But he still has that sweetest spirit about him. And I'm no David Smith. I'd be a grumbler. Yet God's calling on my wife and me to take a stand right now. And, I figure up my budget, and I'm only going to be $800 a month short after Betty quits work. That's all. And yet I've got to trust him. And you know, well, we'll see. May my spirit be sweet even in the midst of that. We'll see. But what's the alternative? I can be like Lamech. Romans chapter 1 says this. Whoops. Where are you? That's what it's supposed to be. Right there. It'll get you every now and again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what happened to Lamech and to his family. They became business people. They had money. They were artisans. They were scientists. In fact, I did a little reading about Tubal-Cain. And it's very interesting what they say about Tubal-Cain. This I'm just going to toss this out real quick and we'll move on. Tubal-Cain is probably the roots of where the Greek myth of Vulcan comes from. Remember the Roman god Vulcan? He was the god of the forge. Tubal-Cain was the one who... How do what? You don't remember that? And Vulcan is the one who got in trouble because he gave fire to man. And Tubal-Cain. And they say even the name, Tubal-Cain, Vulcan, Tubal-Cain, Vulcan, Vulcan. You know, over time, that's probably his name. And then it talks about his sister. The same people say that his sister's name was Nema. Do you know who Vulcan, the Roman god Vulcan, you know who he was married to? Venus, the god of beauty. And this was probably his sister, you know, Nema right here. Why else would she be mentioned? She was something special. So, I mean, that, you know, they go on. And then there's also Tubal-Cain. If you've done any studying of the Masons, the Masonic rites, Tubal-Cain is the secret password for the third level of the Masons. So just thought I'd toss that out in case you ever want to do the secret handshake. And there is a secret handshake. And you know. The more I study the Masons, the more frightened I am by them. Yeah. All right, now then, let's move on and talk about the godly line of Seth right quick. Verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, or to call themselves by the name of the Lord, is one translation. I'm God's child. Now we start reading about all of the different lineages here and how long they lived. And if I had time, I'd read all of them to you. But again, isn't it an awful lot like looking at the pictures of somebody else's wedding? I think it is of note here, though, that most of these are just mentioned, but there's not a lot said about them. They were part of a godly line. Nobody knows my grandfather's name, but he was a godly man. My father, his name is fading, but every now and again I'll come across someone who knew my father who reminds me about what a good man he was. The story, if I were to tell you about my father, though, would start out by telling you that when he was 15, he learned to drink alcohol, and he became a drunk, and he thought fighting was a sport, and he was the troublemaker in the town. He was married and he had two children, but he was hated by everybody in town, so that when World War II was going on, married, two children, the head of the draft board singled him out and made sure he was drafted. He was in his late 20s, married, two children, and he was drafted. That tells me they put his name at the top of the list because he was that big of a troublemaker. That was my father. And then God saved him. And that is the man that I knew. I didn't know the troublemaker. I knew the saved man. So, we read through all of these names and we come to one interesting one, Enoch. Verse 24 says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. One old preacher said it this way, the Lord and Enoch were just walking along together as they did every evening, and the Lord said, well, you know, we've come a long way today. Actually, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you just come on home with me tonight? That's the relationship that Enoch had with God, this godly line of people that don't really make a big splash in this world, but sure do stand out with God. And then we read about Methuselah. He lived to be the oldest man recorded, 969 years old. And then we read about a few more names. And then we come to this guy named Noah. A faithful group of people. By the way, do you know who Noah's father was? What's the name of Noah's father? Lamech. Is it the same Lamech? You sure? What's Lamech's father's name? Methuselah was Lamech's name, father's name. Now, the other Lamech, what was his father's name? It wasn't Methuselah, it was Mahujael. Sounds really similar, doesn't it? Some people will say that it is the same Lamech. I don't think it is. It's a completely different lineage. But next week we're going to talk about this guy named Noah. All right? Here's your homework assignment for next week. Chapter 6 starts out with this phrase about the sons of God. The sons of God and the daughters of men. So who do you think they were? We're going to talk about that next week. All right? And hopefully we'll talk about Noah too. That's your homework. Come up with an opinion about who are the sons of God. And by the way, that phrase sons of God is only mentioned twice in the Bible. So read both of them. And then see what you think.